You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, Jaguar fans. It's your man Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars, and it's mock draft day time here on Locked On Jaguars. First of all, thank you guys for joining us, and I have to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Let's get right into it, man, and let's talk about, let's recap last week, and then let's just talk about how we're going to proceed today with this mock draft that I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do live with you. I'm going to use the Draft Network, and I'm going to use their platform and explain the picks to you. I'm going to go through free agency real quick and what we did in our mock free agency last week. The purpose for me to do that was I had to wait until the coaching staff was filled to come up with an idea and a plan and a strategy for free agency. So I did that, and I'll go through that real quick for you first, and then I'll explain why I think it was so important to build a mock free agency before you approach the draft. Now, this isn't any inside information. This is just gut feeling for me. This is just my attempt and my first swing at it. And usually what I do is I go with my first swing. I'll let it stand on itself, and I won't even change it as it goes along. And what I'll do is, after they're done with free agency in the draft, go back and kind of compare and contrast and look at it from the standpoint of, okay, how did I do versus what they actually did? And even if I don't have the players right, I'll try to see if my strategy was correct in terms of how they approached it from a positional standpoint. And sometimes I'll give myself credit even if they talked to those guys, but they just weren't able to get those guys in camp. So let's start at the beginning with free agency. With free agency, what I decided to do was I took some liberties to think that this team is going to actually retain a couple of players. The two players that I thought that they would retain is Keelan Cole and Cam Robinson. I think Keelan Cole adds a lot of value to your team because of free agency. And because of special teams. The punt return in Green Bay last year made me think, and I've been asking this question for a couple of years, why wasn't Keelan Cole your main return specialist under the previous regime? They're gone. I'm not going to harp on it. But when you saw what he did in that game, what that did for me, I saw for Keelan Cole when he did that, especially against a team like Green Bay, I said cha-ching, because that adds so much value to a player. When you put that on tape, along with the games that he's played over the years, whether it be in the playoffs against Pittsburgh, games he's had against New England, when you consider that along with poor quarterback play, other teams around the league will remember that and go, you know what, you put that kid in a different situation and make him your third receiver with a great quarterback. If you put him in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, he's way better. He's way better, obviously, than he is in Jacksonville, and he becomes a better player. So if he's going to be good for somebody else after you've developed him this long, why don't you keep him here and use him as a special teams guy and just continue to tell him, go out and compete. Go out and compete. They tried to replace him with DeeDee Westbrook. It didn't work. Okay, it seems like they've continued to try to replace him, but now this new regime can say, hey, he's too valuable. He gives us speed. We want to play fast. Let's just keep this kid and make him a part of our organization. I don't think it costs you a lot to do that. The other guy is left tackle Cam Robinson. I would absolutely think that the Jaguars, because of their relationship and them retaining George Warhop, they probably look at this and go, like, I hear this opinion out there, and this is what I said on Twitter yesterday, and a lot of people misunderstood me, probably because they wanted to. But if your evaluation of Cam Robinson is that he's a good left tackle in the league, and you keeping him has everything to do with the fact that he's already in-house, and you can prevent him from hitting free agency, then you keep him. Because the thing is, that's where your leverage is. Your leverage is the fact that he's in-house and you have the ability to stop other people from being able to poach him, right? That's one advantage you have. Now, but it has to be because you either think he has value or you think he's a good player. That comes from George Warhop. That comes from the scouts, the staff, and, of course, Trent Baalke, who was already here as well, and he can look at Cam Robinson and decide that, and they can come up with some sort of conclusion. What I'm against is, well, let's just re-sign him and see what he can do for another year. I understand that line of thinking if you would have changed position coaches. Like, let's see what we can do with him. But if you're going to keep the same position coach that he had last year and the year before, and then decide you're going to pay another year just to see. See, to me, that's when you're doing what I call you're hedging your own evaluation. And what I mean by that is you're not sure, but you're willing to pay a hefty price just to see another year. It's like playing poker, and I'm not sure if I have a good hand, but I'll see the flop. But if somebody raises, I'll go ahead and pay. You don't pay to see another card. If somebody raises pre-flop, you fold, unless you know you got it. That's the point that I was trying to make yesterday that people misunderstood. What else is there to see? If you pay him, you're not paying him just to see another year. You may be just paying him because you think, okay, he's better than any rookie that we could get, and we don't want to go out here and take a chance and spend in free agency. And we might not get a guy in free agency. So guess what? If we go into free agency, a guy might not want to come here. So we've lost our bird in the hand, and now we're stuck with a rookie who at 25 we don't believe is going to be better than Cam Robinson right away. So we'll get Cam Robinson here, and then we'll groom the other guy, and maybe long term the other guy can be better, but right away he won't be. That makes total sense to me. What doesn't make sense to me is for you to have the approach that you're going to, well, let's see. You've had 4 years to see, and he has the same position coach. If you pay him, it's because he's a stopgap to the development of a young guy, or you believe in him, period. You ain't waiting to see anything. What are you waiting to see? You should know, and you should have your finger on the pulse, because you didn't change coaches, you should have the finger on the pulse of what you think he is. And teams have to live and die with being right or wrong. They don't have the option of being fans like us. You have to live and die with being right or wrong, period. And that's the point. All right. So for those who thought that I was against them keeping Cam Robinson, just comprehend a little bit better. I'm not. So I have them keeping Cam Robinson. I have them keeping Keelan Cole, right? Because I think there are too many reasons that they have to keep Cam Robinson. One being that I'm going to gamble and say that George Warhop is going to fight for the guy that he was coaching. I'm going to gamble that since they did keep him, that Trent Baalke is probably on that side also. And then the fact that he's a bird in the hand and he's already on your roster. So whatever the reason is, whether they think he's the long-term answer, whether they like him a lot better than a lot of us believe, and I won't say they like him a lot better than a lot of us. They like him a lot more than we like him, because our liking him from a fan perspective isn't the same thing as having a coach's eye. So I'll just backtrack on that a little bit and say they like him a lot better than we perceive that they like him. That's what I'll say. So moving on from that, the approach that I decided to take is I'm not going to go and try to sign Leonard Williams, Cam Robinson, Trent Williams. I'm not Cam Robinson, Allen Robinson, Trent Williams, and then if Stephon Gilmore gets released, Stephon Gilmore, or there is this thing about Marshawn Lattimore that's very interesting, though, that kind of came up over the weekend, that if the Saints are willing to trade him, would the Jaguars trade for him? But that's not a part of the scenario that I'm going to do, but that is very, very interesting. But going for four really, really big names at $15 to $17 to $18 million a year was one way to do it. I decided not to do that way. I went quantity over quality. I did get one big guy. So Leonard Williams is the biggest name that I got. Okay. I fortified that with Leonard Williams. I also went and got him a running mate in Daquan Jones that probably won't cost a lot of money. He's 29 years old. He played in Tennessee's a big guy, big physical guy. He's a Baltimore type guy. And I keep saying that because of Joe Cullen. All right. Matt Judon is interesting. There are a lot of people that may not believe that they need another pass rushing outside linebacker on this team. I'm not one of those guys, especially if you're going to play the way that they've always played in Baltimore, where they rotate three or four guys. And if you don't think Baltimore is going to let him go, you're crazy. If you look at their history, they've always let guys go when they hit like 28 years old. And I think the reason, one of the reasons they paid all that compensation to get Yannick Ngakoue, besides the fact that they were making a run, is that Judon is 28 and Ngakoue played at 24, 25 years old last year. And if they have a choice, they're going to take the younger guy. So that's one of the reasons that I think Judon will be available. And I think because they mix and match and they play so many different fronts and they're very multiple, this is not going to stump Kayla Vaughn's growth anymore. Like last year when folks were saying, go get Clowney, I was against it because they were running a base 4-3, and that means the kid wasn't going to play. After I've seen him play, I think he needs some help. I don't think if you're the Jaguars, you can just hope that he's better. I think you put him in a situation where he's a rotational player and get the best out of him that way, especially since you're now running a system where the coach comes from a place where they rotate players all the time. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So those are the guys that I have in the front seven. On defense. On the back end, I had him going out and getting a lengthy corner, William Jackson, who's a good player, who's a little bit of a cheaper option to go opposite of C.J. Henderson. Malik Hooker, I don't think this is a kick-the-tire situation as much as it is the safety from Indy. I think it's just a familiarity situation with Chris Ash, of course, with Urban Meyer as well, and with Hooker probably believing that they know how to use him and that it won't cost a lot. And that he understands their defense and their philosophy. The other thing is on offense, those are the guys on defense that I decided. On offense, I got some help, man. Jonnu Smith. I thought about, okay, is Smith going to follow Arthur Smith to Atlanta? But then I thought they have Hayden Hurst. Smith can come here and be the alpha tight end for a young quarterback. And he's a red zone machine. He's the kind of guy that are a little bit undersized. Urban Meyer's had success with those guys before at the tight end position. So Jonnu Smith as a tight end. And then Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel, you want speed on offense. You want versatility. Curtis Samuel is a guy I think he's going to cost some, but I don't think he's going to cost a whole bunch of money. But he gives you that element as a wide receiver. So now, you're looking at the wide receiver room, and I'm going to go over this real quick before we start our draft after we take our first break. You're looking at the wide receiver room, and you're going, Wig, that's a lot of people. You kept Keelan Cole. You now signed Curtis Samuel. You got Laviska Shenault. You got DJ Chark. That's four guys. That's four guys. And now you got Colin Johnson, who's your big red zone target. That's five. Are you going to add one in the draft? Yep, I might add two. Because of the way that they're going to run offense, I'm going to at least add one guy in the draft. I might add two. The guys that the Jaguars have on their roster right now, and this is why I shied away from Allen Robinson, one of the reasons anyway. The guys that they have on their roster right now, Shenault 6'1", 6'2", Colin Johnson 6'6", Chark is 6'4". I think they have enough guys that can high point footballs. I think what they need guys that can catch slants. They need guys that can catch hitches. They need guys that can catch quick outs. They need that guy. They need the little shallow cross guy that can shake and bake and turn a 5-yard gain into an 11-yard gain. So that's where we're going here. That's one of the reasons I kept Cole, other than free agency. He's what D.D. West. They had D.D. Westbrook. They're not gonna have D.D. Westbrook. I keep Keelan Cole instead of D.D. Westbrook to do whatever D.D. Westbrook was supposed to do. I think Curtis Samuel gives you some versatility where you can put him in the backfield. You can do some things with him. You can run him on reverses. You can do all of that stuff. So there you go. That's free agency. When I come back, I'm gonna start this live draft where I'm gonna talk you through it, and I'm gonna walk you through it. I'm gonna let you go with me. I'm going to let you go with me, man, while I do it. And it's going to be a lot of fun, I believe. We're going to have a lot of fun here on Locked On Jaguars. So buckle your seatbelts. Let's do it together here as we build our team for 2021 here on Locked On Jaguars. Let me put you on game, man, and holler at you about betonline.ag. Man, that's where I go to get paid about every single bet that I'm going to make it on sports, and you can do the same thing. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over for right now, but the NBA, college basketball and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, bro. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website to use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The promo code is locked on for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All right, man. I'd be remiss if I did not tell you about my man Peter Bukowski and his show Locked On Today, which is heard here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a daily show that comes on and it covers every single thing, everything you want to know about sports. The biggest stories of the day is on Locked On Today. It's a 20-minute show. It's hard-hitting. It's fast. And you get all of the news from local experts from around the country. So subscribe to Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. It's time to do some drafting. So housekeeping. Let me tell you where I got my information from, man. I got it from The Draft Network. That's right, The Draft Network. Joe Marino and the boys do a really good job. They have a great draft simulator over there where you can pick your team. Of course, we're picking the Jaguars because it's your team every day. Make no mistake about it. With the first pick, the Jaguars selected Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson. We've talked ad nauseum about his impact on this city, on and off the field. I think it's a win-win situation. Trevor Lawrence is I think he's transcendent. I think he's different. One thing I will tell you that I haven't really argued with people about is this. When folks talk about how all these other guys play off schedule, since when did Trevor Lawrence become Dan Fouts? And when I watch tape, since when did Trevor Lawrence not like scramble and score like a 50-yard some odd touchdown against Ohio State? I mean, when did all of a sudden he become Tom Brady? A guy who couldn't move. It blows my mind when folks give accolades to other quarterbacks as if Trevor Lawrence does not do the very things that they're talking about those guys doing. So Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the 2021 draft, and I think it's a win-win situation. The Jaguars' next pick is up, according to the simulator, because they're moving really, really fast. I'm going to go through a couple of these other picks only just for some housekeeping purposes, just to let you know. A few picks ahead of us. Rashad Bateman went to the Bears. Terrace Marshall went to the Colts. Joseph Asai, the edge, went to the Titans. Travis Etienne went to the Jets. Jalen Mayfield, the tackle, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So here are some guys based on the draft networks, and I'm using their predictive board. The guys that are available, and oh my God, man, I'm sitting here looking. Fellas, y'all aren't going to believe this. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all aren't going to believe this. Here's what we have available to us based on the value board. Elijah Vera Tucker, an interior offensive lineman from USC. That's a very, very tempting pick because the Jaguars have a hole at right guard, in my opinion. Zaven Collins. I have a man crush on Zaven Collins. And the reason why is because he fits that versatility on that second level of the defense that I'm talking about. He can play next to Miles Jack in the future. He runs. He does every single thing well. He covers. He rushes the quarterback. He has Ravens linebacker written all over him. And I just imagine him on a defense with Miles Jack side by side and the things that I know that Charlie Strong and Joe Cullen and that crew will be able to do with him, and I previously talked about him. It's going to be very, very difficult for me to move past that. Gregory Rousseau, I see as a big end who gives you pass rush. You can never have too many of those guys. So, you know, it's getting real, man. It's absolutely getting real here for your boy that has to make this pick. There's still some wide receivers on the board. There's some tight ends on the board. There's a lot of good stuff. The good thing for me is this. The Jaguars have a pick 8 picks away. So for all the guys that are sitting here on the board that I love, Rondale Moore, Landon Dickerson, Wyatt Davis, for all the guys that I love, somebody's going to fall to 33. And we're going to still be able to grab them at that position. So without further ado, I'm going to do it, and I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but I'm going to take Zaven Collins. I think Zaven Collins out of Tulsa is too good to pass up in the first round. You guys probably knew it was coming, and it might be a little overkill at the linebacker position, but that's all right. I think he's just that good of a football player, and I really do. I did a podcast last week where I said, do it like baseball, And what I'm anticipating is you're not going to be able to keep him off the field. And the guy whose minutes he's going to take is probably Joe Schobert. That's just the way I see it. Although he's not a traditional Mike linebacker, he's a guy that can do a lot of moving around. And he's another guy that can be in that rotation. When you go to these sub packages, he's another guy that you could just put on the field. Remember, when you saw teams play this year, they'd have two or maybe three at the most defensive linemen on the field, defensive tackles. They have four or five guys standing up, man. You just can't have enough people that can run, hit, and tackle in space. So now the Jaguars have two picks in the fold. It's Trevor Lawrence and Zaven Collins. And I know a lot of people ain't going to like that pick, but that's all right. We're going to get one more pick in before we speed it up a little bit here on our mock so we can get to explaining it to everyone. All right, so we're at 33. We're at pick of 33 according to the simulator. There's some offensive linemen here. There's some people here. There's some more edge here. Jalen Phillips is here, but you know, we ain't going to get greedy. We ain't going to get greedy in that front seven. We're not going to get greedy in that front seven. We ain't going to do it. I'm not going to allow myself to be sucked into doing that. I'm not going to be greedy. I'm not going to be silly. There's some other guys here. Let's see. Who else is here? Eichenberg's here. I don't quite think he fits in. And remember, this team made a commitment. They made a commitment to Cam Robinson. And I don't believe that they're done with Juwan Taylor either, even though I am going to attack the depth a little bit later on at the offensive line and the offensive tackle position. So I'm going to move down a little bit. I'm going to take a look. Let's see. Where am I going to go? This is a big, big, big pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here you go. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going interior offensive line, man. I'm going interior offensive line, and I'm going to take Landon Dickerson. The reason why I'm going to take Landon Dickerson is because I'm going to plug him in at right guard right now, and then eventually he's going to move over, and he's going to take the he's going to eventually probably be the center on this football team at some point when Brandon Linder retires, even if he doesn't or moves on. Landon Dickerson gives us the versatility as an interior offensive lineman from Alabama. So there you go. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of a pause. So first three picks, Trevor Lawrence is obviously the guy. We took Zaven Collins out of Tulsa, and I went Landon Dickerson to give you guys a 6'6", 329-pound behemoth to help protect Trevor Lawrence and to help create holes for James Robinson. We'll finish up here, and we'll speedball it a little bit, and then we'll talk about the draft picks that we have in conjunction with the free agents in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Built Bar, man. That's right. Built Bar. BuiltBar.com is where you need to go to make sure that you get yourself right with Built Bars, man. And they have 18 great flavors. They're introducing new stuff every single day. And you need to get a part of it. You need to make sure that you lock it in and get the best tasting protein bar on the market, because they are so delicious, it's not even funny. They're covered with chocolate. And like I said, 18 great flavors. Some have nuts, some don't. But what they all have is they all have packed with protein. That's right. They're all packed with protein. They have very low calorie, low sugar, and low carbohydrates. So they might taste like they'll hurt your diet, but they really won't. They're really, really good for you. They taste good. They're also a good snack for you and your entire family. You'll enjoy them at BuiltBar.com. And you'll enjoy 20% off if you use the promo code Locked On. That's right. One word, Locked On. Use the promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off of your Built Bars right now at BuiltBar.com. Make that happen, man, and they'll be at your front door before you know it, and you'll be enjoying this scrumptious, delicious snack and protein bar that's really, really good for you. It's BuiltBar.com. The promo code is Locked On for 20% off your next order. Okay, man, let's get it in, man. We're doing this mock draft. We're going to roll right through. For any information that you need about the draft, we're using the Draft Network's draft machine. Join the Draft Network's Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak every weekday on Locked On NFL Draft. Every Monday through Friday, Trevor and Ben break down everything you need to know about the NFL draft, upcoming prospects, and more through the draft scouting lens. With mock drafts every Monday, get an early look at which top prospects may be available for your team over at Locked On NFL Draft. Subscribe wherever you need your podcasts. Man, we're moving right along, man. A little bit of an infrastructure draft right now before we get to some of the good stuff. I got Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback. I got Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa, a dynamic open field tackler and pass rusher, a big physical guy that really changes the way the linebacker room looks. At this point, Miles Jack might be your smallest linebacker. That's just the way this is going. Landon Dickerson, a big physical football player who could play guard or center for you. I think he can even play a little right tackle, but for the sake of housekeeping here, we're going to try to plug him in at right guard. But he's just a real good, solid football player, too, to solidify you up front. So we're going to move right along in our draft here, and we're going to get to our second pick here in the second round for the Jaguars. And hopefully this will be a doozy, man. Hopefully this will be a doozy because I really got a guy in mind. I'm telling you, I got a guy in mind, man, and I hope he is sitting around. I hope he's sitting around, and it looks like somebody just took him. I'm going to see who just took this guy. I'm going to tell you just took this guy. No, he didn't get taken. So I think we might have a chance to get the guy we want here if I'm the Jaguars. Let me go take a look real quick and make sure that we can get our people, and I'm going to tell you exactly who that is in just a second. I'm targeting people, man. I'm targeting people. Got him. We just drafted Richie Grant, safety, out of Central Florida, a hard-hitting, head-hunting machine that can bust people up. If you watch the Ravens defense, they had guys who basically would decapitate you and take away that real estate that you were trying to get, a physical presence in the middle of that defense, and that's exactly what you need if you're going to play this way. And this makes the Malik Hooker pick really, really important in free agency. Malik Hooker, along with Jarrett Wilson, who's already on the team, you got to really, really make sure you cover that back end to help these guys out, man, because what you have to do, and Tampa showed you this, and this is that Antoine Winfield Jr. pick. You have to tackle in space and make guys pay for trying to run fast without having to pay a price for just thinking they're just going to run fast all over the place and not have to worry about it. No, that's not going to happen. You saw that the other day or the other week in the Super Bowl. So we're going to move on to our next pick here in the mock draft. All right, so we're at the top. We're at pick 65. I'm looking for speed. I'm looking for who's left. You guys know who I'm sitting there jonesing for, but I think I can get him a little bit later. But there's a guy I'm sitting here looking at right now from Western Michigan, and I'm going to take him. His name's Dwayne Eskridge, and I'm going to pull him in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to give us another versatile, punt-returning, hitch-catching, slant-catching, speed demon to go into that receiving core, a guy who can put one foot in front of the other and really, really make it happen. So to recap real quick, Trevor Lawrence, Zaven Collins, Landon Dickerson, Richie Grant, Dwayne Eskridge, the wide receiver from Western Michigan, is the next pick. So let's move on to our next pick here for Locked On Jaguars as we complete our draft here, our mock draft, and build our team for 2021. All right, we're sitting here at pick 106, and this one was hard for me, man. This was real, real hard for me because there's a couple of players I really, really like. I'm going to pass up Kelvin Joseph at this point because I think right now the Jaguars probably, because of how many young players they have at the cornerback position, are pretty good. And I think if I move past this spot, I won't be able to get a player of this caliber at an area where I still want to touch it up, even though I retain Cam Robinson. So I'm going to go with Walker Little. I'm surprised he's still on the board at this point. He's an offensive tackle, former blue chip prospect out of the high school in Texas. He's out of Stanford. Walker Little, left tackle prospect from Stanford, is the pick at 106 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So now you get a little touch up on the offensive line in Landon Dickerson and Walker Little. And you've had so many people talk about how many pros and how many 10-year vets that are going to play. And I think when you have that, you have to go to where the groceries are. What aisles are full? This aisle, the line aisle is full. And if you're the Jaguars and you have these picks, you have to touch it up for the future and put guys in development. And I really think it's a good look. You get him here in this strength and conditioning and nutrition program, and you look down the line and you see what you have. And so there you go. There's your line right there. Walker Little to go along with Landon Dickerson are your two additions for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And who knows, man, I might touch that area up as we continue to move along here on our 2021 mock draft for the Jaguars. Let's get to the next pick. Oh, you guys, the next pick. The next pick, I had a couple of choices. So what I did was I looked over the draft board and I saw a lot of guys that filled positions of need where I could go ahead and reach for my dude, right, for the Jaguars. I have some other spots that I want to kind of tighten up a little bit with the rest of their picks. But we're talking about adding speed, right? Let's add some speed. Let's go to Houston, man. I got to get my man wide receiver Marquez Stevenson. I've been talking about him so much. I'm going to get a dude that just knows how to run by people. And I'm going to get a guy, if you put the ball on his hand two or three times a game, you see what you got. Reminds me of Mecole Hardman. That's who he kind of reminds me of with the way that he could put one foot in front of the other. So to add along with Dwayne Eskridge, and I almost took Stevenson when I took Eskridge, but I think Eskridge is probably a little thicker, has a little bit of a thicker frame, and may give you a little bit more in the return game as a punt returner right away. So I'm going to go with Marquez Stevenson as the pick here for the Jacksonville Jaguars to add two speed guys now along with Curtis Samuel. I told you, the Jaguars had big people. They had 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'6", guys. Now, you've added those kind of guys that Urban Meyer loves where you put the ball in their hand and this is the way the game is going and you've given Trevor Lawrence weapons, guys that can get down the field early and often. And you have enough of them, you don't have to rush them. So here's Marquez Stevenson for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, so I looked at the board here with the next pick and I realized, let's get some more sand in our pocket if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what I mean by that is when you look around at the teams, especially the team that we're trying to emulate defensively, they have big guys like Brandon Williams. Big guys, and I know that we have Devon Hamilton here, but you can always use more than one. There's a kid in Gainesville that's about 350 pounds that plays defensive tackle, and he's still on the board. His name is Darryl Slayton. Well, he's a Jaguar now because we just picked him. So we got a guy we're going to put some sand in our pocket and fill up our defensive line and fortify our front seven. I told you, we got to fix the trenches. We did it with a couple of guys, with Leonard Williams and Daquan Jones. We did it in free agency. Well, now we tap in a little bit in this draft, and we get to Darryl Slayton, a guy who started a lot of games in the Southeastern Conference, who's a big physical dude. He's now going to be a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's look and see what else is in the goodie bag for the Jaguars as we move forward with our mock here on Locked On Jaguars in 2021. For our next pick, I was cool with the position, but I got caught between two names. I figured since the Jaguars started scouting Dwayne Eskridge, that he had a teammate named Daylon Moore who played offensive tackle, right? I was stuck between him, and I tried to find a difference between him and Dan Moore Jr., the offensive tackle at Texas A&M. And the only difference I found was level of competition. So I'm thinking Urban Meyer, Trent Baalke. We got a lot of guys from small schools, big program, maybe a guy who has a proven track record against the level of competition. So I went with the bigger guy. Let's go with Dan Moore, offensive tackle from Texas A&M, to give the Jaguars three offensive line selections in this draft to develop. Three. And this is one of the deepest offensive line drafts we've seen in a while. Maybe not as top heavy, but in terms of depth, we're talking about building these lines of scrimmage. Let's go with Dan Moore Jr., the offensive tackle out of Texas A&M. Let's dive back in, man, and let's see what we can find. I'm searching for maybe another player in that defensive backfield, or see if we can find another James Robinson, another little running back to help James Robinson out a little bit. However, in the quest for maybe another safety or maybe another little corner, which, guys, I realize that we have a lot of those guys on the team already, and you could probably also find a veteran. And plus, I'm thinking, let me see where Marlon Mack is with that Achilles, and I could give him a one-year minimum deal to see where he is to help out with depth at running back. Or maybe in free agency, I could come back in the second wave, and I can come back and go up to New England and check out Rex Burkhead. I'm sitting here looking, and there's a young tight end by the name of Luke Farrell who I saw in the semifinal game catch a couple of touchdowns from Justin Fields. And I probably could get a cosign from Ryan Day, and he probably understands the way we want to move. So I'm going to take Luke Farrell, the tight end, and I'm going to see if he can crack the top three or top four and help us out, even though we got Jonnu Smith and hopefully we have Josh Oliver. So I'm going to go with Luke Farrell with some value here late a tight end from Ohio State for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the 2021 draft. And I'm going to dive back in, man, to see what else I can get. All right, I went to the well, man, here late, and I found us the running back. I went to Nebraska, man. I really like this kid, too, man. He kind of puts one foot in front of the other, runs with power. Dedrick Mills. Dedrick Mills is your last Jacksonville Jaguar running back out of Nebraska. So, quick recap. And I want you guys, what you do, man, do this. If you ain't seen these guys play, go clip some YouTube stuff. And I know they're not going to show game tape. They're going to show highlights. Game tape's probably boring to a lot of you guys anyway. So, Trevor Lawrence, Zaven Collins, Landon Dickerson, Richie Grant. Let me tell you where they're from. Trevor, Clemson, Zaven Collins, Tulsa, Landon Dickerson, of course, Bama, Richie Grant, safety out of UCF, Dwayne Eskridge, wide receiver out of Western Michigan, Walker Little, tackle out of Stanford, Marquez Stevenson, wide receiver out of Houston, Tadarius Slayton, defensive tackle out of Florida, Dan Moore Jr., offensive tackle out of Texas A&M, Luke Farrell, tight end out of Ohio State, Dedrick Mills, running back out of Nebraska. So combine those guys with the guys in free agency, and that's my take on the 2021 new additions for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Take a look at it, man. Critique me. See what you like. Tune in tomorrow here on Locked On Jaguars, man. We'll have more of the daily coverage. It's your team here every day on Locked On Jaguars. I hope you guys really enjoyed my stab at mock free agency, mock draft for this football team. I'm going to hold on to this one. You guys hold on to it also. And not only will we see what they do, but we'll see where a lot of these guys go. We'll test my scouting eye a little bit and see what happens. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this, and we'll be back tomorrow with more stuff. And we're going to have some guests on. We're going to start having more and more guests since the Super Bowl is over with as the draft starts heating up. Got a lot of emails that's been responded to. We just got to get the timing down. But we'll do it for you guys' enjoyment. Until then, take care.